dice non è mai.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد إن أصدق الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. We thank Allah Azza wa Jal for allowing us to come together in this blessed month, the month of Ramadan, in the year 1434, which is in correspondence to 2013, in the city of Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. And indeed, it's incumbent upon us to thank those who were responsible for making my attendance possible. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man lam yashkur innas, lam yashkur Allah." Who has not thanked the people, he has not thanked Allah. So I give my gratitude to those individuals who were responsible for inviting me to the masjid here in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. And indeed, us sitting together is something which is good. It is something which, inshallah ta'ala, it is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. Because our Lord Baraka ta'ala said, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. And join together in righteousness and piety, and do not join together in sin and transgression. So we as brothers, we're trying to join together in righteousness and piety. We're trying to remind one another. We're trying to encourage one another in this blessed month. And Allah Ta'ala says, "Wal asri innal insana lafi khusr." And we know the surah al-asr, verily by time men are destroyed, all of us are lost, all of us are destroyed except those who believe and do righteous deeds. Wa tawasaw bil haqq wa tawasaw bis sabr, those who enjoin the truth and enjoin patience. And that's what we're trying to do by coming together, is that we're trying to remind one another of that which would benefit us in this life and in the next life. All praise be to Allah. Walillahi alhamd. We are in the month of good. We are in the month that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was mentioned about him that he was the most generous in all forms of good in the month of Ramadan. He was the most generous. وَأَجْوَدَ مَا كَانَ يَكُونُ فِي الرَّمَضَانِ أو أَجْوَدَ مَا يَكُونُ فِي الرَّمَضَانِ. The most generous that our Prophet ﷺ was in the month of Ramadan. And that doesn't only mean wealth, but that means in all forms of good. Reminding one another, encouraging one another, in all forms of good. So us sitting and reminding one another of our responsibilities and our obligations in the religion, and that which we should be upon, this is of our generosity. This is the generosity that we're trying to show for one another as Muslims. One thing we should understand is that our religion is a religion that calls to all forms of good. Anything which is good, And we don't make our criteria the society that we live in. No, we make our criteria that which is good with Allah. Anything that's good with Allah, our religion tells us to race toward it. Allah Ta'ala says, فَاسْتَبَقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ, race toward good deeds. Race towards all forms of good. And Allah Ta'ala says, فَاسْتَبِقُوا, yani race. It's like we're racing. Because we understand that there's a common goal amongst all of us, and that is to reach the Jannah of our Lord, Tabaraka Ta'ala. That is to reach the Jannah of our Lord. So we have to race toward it. And Allah Ta'ala said about the prophets and the messengers, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. Allah said about the prophets and the messengers, they used to race. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ. Sira'a is that you race. So Allah described the prophets and the messengers as individuals who actually race toward good deeds. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَيَدْعُونَنَا. And they used to call on Allah with hope and fear. And the prophets and the messengers, they are our examples. They are the individuals that Allah Azza wa Jal sent as an example to the creation. So we should be upon the same thing. We should be upon racing towards good deeds. Now there's no doubt that all of us find that our race can become deterred. We might take a detour. We might take a detour at times. We might become lazy at times. We might become stagnant at times. And that is because there is an individual or individuals that prevent us from racing. That prevent us from, you know, going toward all forms of good. Now, in the month of Ramadan, Allah Azza wa Jal has kept that individual back. As the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, إِذَا دَخَلَ رَمَضَانَ فُتِّحَتْ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ وَغُلِّقَتْ أَبْوَابُ النَّارِ وَصُفِّدَتِ الشَّيَاطِينَ. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and like I said, keep in mind, racing, because Allah mentioned it. Racing toward good deeds, racing towards ibadah, racing toward Jannah. But we find, like I said, that at times we take a detour, we become stagnant, we become lazy, so we don't have that race, we don't have that diligence within us. And like we said, it's because of there's an individual that wants to hold us back or individuals that want to hold us back. But now is the time to get your race on. Because Allah Azza wa Jal, or the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when Ramadan enters, the doors of paradise are open, the doors of the hellfire are closed, and the shayateen are locked away. So the reality is, if you and all of us are guilty of this, if we at times felt laziness, or if we at times felt that we couldn't excel at the rate that we would like to, or we couldn't excel at all, then know now it's time for you to excel, because Allah has assisted you by holding back the individual that was deterring you. Allah has assisted you. So Allah is holding him back. Now what is it? What is upon the individual who is sincere? If you were, and we are, if you were in an actual race, and we are in an actual race, now the individual that was holding you back, he's being held back. So what are you going to do now? Now it's time for you to show your sincerity. Now it's time for you to show, are you in it to win? Because he is being held back. Now, and the Prophet ﷺ said that, وَصُفِّدَتْ الشَّيَاطِينَ, the shayateen are locked away. Now if, and this is sad to say, if you still find yourself lazy, if you still find yourself stagnant, that's for either one of two reasons. That's one of two reasons, or even both. Either that individual who throughout the year he stops you and weighs you down, either he's affected you so much. He's affected you so much that now he's held back. Now he's held back, but you still find the effects of his whispering. You still find the effects of his trying to, you know, persuade you and trying to, you know, guide you in the wrong direction. He has affected you in such a way that now he's held back, but you know what? You can't excel because you're affected by him so much. That's one. Or, and the next one, and the first one is possible. It's possible for all of us because there's no doubt we're affected by him. Yuwaswis ilayna. He whispers to us. He persuades us. So all of us are affected by him. So yeah, at times when he's held back, we don't find ourselves excelling because we're so much affected by him. But the second is worse, and that is you're not really sincere in your race. You don't really want to excel. You're not really committed to the race. So it's not him, it's you yourself. It's you yourself. Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyama kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. O you who believe, siyam has been prescribed for you, just as it has been prescribed for those who came before you, so that you may establish taqwa. So that you may establish taqwa. Taqwa is that which helps you excel. Taqwa is that which helps you race. All of us are in need of taqwa. All of us in need of that which gives us that energy, that strength, that commitment. All of us are in need of it. So Allah has established Ramadan so that we can benefit, because this is that which would allow us to excel. And taqwa is so strong within itself. It's so strong within itself that if a person establishes the taqwa, there's no way the shaitan's going to catch him on the race field. There's no way he's going to catch him on the track, because you're always excelling by way of taqwa. Allah says, وَمَنْ يَتَّكِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever fears Allah, Allah makes a way from him. وَمَنْ يَتَّكِ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ هَيْثُ لَمْ يَحْتَسِبْ. Whoever fears Allah, Allah would provide from him, from places he never expected. Allah Ta'ala says, وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And the people with taqwa, they will have the end result. ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامِ وَخَافَ وَعِيدِ. Jannah is for the people that fear standing in front of me and fear my punishment. So fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla is that which is going to allow us to excel, is that which is going to allow us to win the race. Ramadan has been established so that you can have taqwa. So now it's time for you to get it. It's time for you to get it. Tayyib. It's clear to us, bi-idhnillah, that we have an individual who's trying to stop us, an individual who's trying to hold us back. But the reality, keep in mind, and throughout the talk, bi-idhnillah ta'ala, I'm going to strike, and I'm going to constantly refer to this parable of running on a track field. I'm going to refer to it. And walillah alhamd, you know, بضرب المثال يتضح المقال. As the ulama say, by striking an example, that which you're trying to teach becomes clearer. And our Lord does it in the Quran. Allah Ta'ala always, you know, throughout the Quran, our Allah Ta'ala strikes parables. You know, Allahu Nur Samawati wal Ard, مثل نوره كمشكات فيها مصباح. Al-misbahu fi zujaja, al-zujajatu ka'annaha kawkabun, to the end of the verse in Surah An-Nur. Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth, the example of His light. And Allah Ta'ala continues to strike parables. وَيَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالَ لِلنَّاسِ. Allah Ta'ala says, and Allah strikes parables for the people. So I'm going to constantly refer to this parable of us running on a track field. Although, and walillah alhamd, you know, we find that our Lord does it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it. Even the ulama of the past, and from amongst the most prominent ulama who I have come across in striking parables, is Ibn Qayyim. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah ta'ala, in striking
parables, and he's very unique and precise in those parables, and we can understand them. We can understand them. You know, but in striking that parable, you know, of us on a track field, it is similar, but there are major differences in our race and the race of the shaitan. Before continuing, the similarities are clear. We're racing. And there's a finish line, and that is Jannah. And you know, and it's a long race, and it's a difficult race. It's not easy. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, where he said, مثلاً, that Jannah is surrounded with trials and tribulations, and the hellfire is surrounded with ease. So that which we're trying to accomplish, which is Jannah, which is the goal, it's going to be accompanied with trials and tribulations. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ قَوْمًا إِبْتَلَاهُمْ. If Allah loves people, He's going to test them. So it's a race. And it's not an easy race, because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants to test your sincerity. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَكُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, do the people feel that they will be left to say that we believe and they will not be tested? وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said, and we have tested those who came before them. And we have tested those who came before them. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ. We're going to test you with something of fear and hunger. وَنَقْصٌ مِنَ الْأَمْوَاتِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. We're going to test you with fear and hunger. And we're going to decrease your lives, your wealth, and your fruits. So Allah is going to test you. And He's not going to test you by one way. He's going to test you by many ways. So yeah, it's a track. And we're running. And the goal is Jannah. But we have our speed bumps. We have our pitfalls. We have our distractions. We have our detours. That actually, it's not really a detour to get back on the path. Any common day detours put you back on the path. The detours that are on the path to Jannah don't put you back on the path. It's a detour that would lead you in the opposite direction. But another difference of that parable of us racing, when it comes to the believers on the track, walillahil hamd. When it comes to the believers that are on the track, walillahil hamd, they're all racing toward Jannah. They're all racing toward Jannah. But when the shaitan meets you on that path, he's a different kind of component. He's a different type of opponent. He's a different type of opponent because his purpose of being on the track is not so that he can get to Jannah first. It's so that no one wins this race. The other believers that are left and to the right of me, my brothers and my sisters that are on the path, we all want Jannah. So we're all, yani it's not that we want to get there first and we don't want anyone else to get there. No, we want to get there and we want everyone else to get there. That was the way of our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was approached and asked, do you want us to destroy these people and those people? And the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said, la. Maybe there will be people from their offspring who worship Allah Azza wa Jal. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam was calling his people for 950 years. He wanted good for them. Inni da'awtuhum laylan wa nahara. Nuh said, I call them day and night. Inni da'awtu qawmi laylan wa nahara. I called my people day and night. We don't do that. We're not close to that. Look at them calling the people day and night. There's not a path, there's not a direction, there's not a place except that they were calling to. So the ways of the prophets and the messengers, and it should be the ways of us, is that we're racing, and we want the people that are also racing with us to reach the goal. But the shaitan is on the path and he doesn't want you to reach the goal. Not that he wants to reach it first. He doesn't want anyone to win this race. So that's the difference. Another thing about similarity and differences between that path is that, and we all know it because we've seen it and we've lived it. And that's the thing about the parables, is the closer it is to the life of the individual, the more beneficial it is. When we race, we can see an individual catching up. إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ. He sees you and you don't see him. So you can't see him. I can see if, you know, and وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ, if I come to the masjid, or if like, if I miss coming to the masjid, and finally I come to the masjid, and I see that their brothers, you know, subhanAllah, racing toward the first row. You get here late, there's brother, the first row is full. What do you say? When you come next time, you wanna get the first row. So you can see people racing, so it helps you to race. It encourages you. You see people moving forward, it encourages you to move forward. You come to the masjid, you see somebody reading Quran. You say, subhanAllah, you know, I need to start reading Quran. You get with a brother, he says, yeah, akhi, I just finished Juz Amma. You say, subhanAllah, you finished it? He say, yeah, I finished it. You think, I haven't finished it. I wanna finish it. So when you're on an actual track, you can see your opponent. But you can't see him. You can't see him. So you don't know where he is. Type. An example, which is, shows you the difference. The individual who's racing with you, like I said, from amongst the believers, we all want to win this race. So we're just moving forward. I'm just moving. I'm moving. And I'm telling to you, come with me. Ya akhi. Come with me. As the Prophet ﷺ used to say to his companions. The Prophet ﷺ used to always encourage his companions. An individual came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, Ya Rasulullah, inni uhibbuk. Individual came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, Ya Rasulullah, I love you. The Prophet ﷺ said, A'ini ala nafsik bikathrat as-sujood. Help me help you by making a lot of prostration. By making a lot of prostration. Let's help one another. The Prophet ﷺ said to Mu'adh bin Jabal, Ya Mu'adh, inni uhibbuk. He said to Mu'adh, oh Mu'adh, I love you. So don't forget to say at the end of each prayer, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatika. Oh Mu'adh, I love you. I want you to win this race. So don't forget to say at the end of every prayer, oh Allah, help me to remember you. Oh Allah, help me to be grateful to you. Oh Allah, help me to worship you upon good. The parable of the believers upon the track, the Prophet ﷺ, he's at the head. But the Prophet ﷺ is saying to Mu'adh, oh Mu'adh, I love you. So don't forget to do this. Why? Because this is that which is going to help you on the sirat. This is that which is going to help you excel. So that's what the believers do. But the shaitan, he's not running in front of you, running beside you. No, he's putting sticks in front of you. He's running ahead and putting holes in front of you. He's putting strings across the trap. So notice what he's doing. Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, inna shaytana lakum aduun fattakhidhu adu. Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Fatir, in Surah Al-Nur, Allah Ta'ala says, Oh, you who believe, verily the shaitan is an enemy, so take him as an enemy. Take him as an enemy. He's an enemy. Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ya ayyuhal nas, kulu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiba, wa la tattabi'u khutuwati shaitan, innahu lakum aduun mubeen. Allah Ta'ala says, O you who believe, eat from the earth that which is halal and good, and don't follow the traps, the path of the shaitan. He is an open enemy to you.
He's an open enemy to you. So we as believers, we have to understand that this individual is an enemy.
إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ
Allah says He orders you to do evil and things which are despicable to Allah. He orders you.
إِنَّمَا يَدْعُو حِزْبَهُ
Allah says, إِنَّمَا يَدْعُو حِزْبَهُ In Surah Fatir, verily He calls His tribe لِيَكُونُوا مِنْ أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ So that they can all go to hell.
إِنَّمَا يَدْعُو
He calls His tribe so that they can all go to hell.
SubhanAllah.
Allahu yad'u ila dar as-salam. Allah calls you to the place of peace. Allah calls you to the place of peace. So let's look. There's two callers.
Innama yad'u hizbahu.
The shaitan calls his tribe so that they can be from the inhabitants of the hellfire. And Allah calls to salam. Allah calls to peace.
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلرَّسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ
Allah says, O you who believe, answer the call of Allah and His Messenger when they call you to that which gives you life. So Allah calls. And the shaitan calls. So the reality is, this is something, we're in a major battle. We're in a major battle. And the believer has to actualize that. You have to reflect over that in order for you to win. Because if not, you're just going to continue walking and you're going to take this detour and you're going to be stagnant and you're going to sit. Yeah, there's some from amongst us that sit. We don't race. And he's happy with that. He's happy with that because in reality, there's no sitting. Either you're going forward or you're going back. The shaitan will make you think you're sitting. He'll make you think that you're sitting, but there's no sitting.
Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْنَا الْمُسْتَقْدِيمِينَ مِنْكُمْ وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْنَا الْمُسْتَأْخِرِينَ
Allah Ta'ala says, we know those who are going forward and we know those who are going backward. So there's no sitting. Either you're moving forward or you're moving backward. And the individual who is sitting, he's actually moving backward. Because the shaitan doesn't leave you to sit. He doesn't want you on the sirat at all. So know the plots of the shaitan. Know the plots of the shaitan. لا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان. Do not follow the path of the shaitan. Don't follow the plan. A khutwa is a path. It's a plan. It's something that's organized. Yeah. This individual is very organized. We've said it in many lectures in the past. This individual doesn't have a year's experience, 2 years experience. He doesn't have 10 years experience. He doesn't have 100 years experience. He has thousands and thousands of years experience. He is al-khannas. As we say, min sharri al-waswas al-khannas. You know what a khannas is? A person that comes and then falls back. He comes and then he falls back. Why does he fall back? Because he wants to come from you from a different direction that you did not expect. And that's why we seek refuge in al-khannas. The one that approaches and reproaches. Then he comes to you from a different direction. And that's why he said to Allah Azza wa Jal, فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ Because of you kicking me out, because of you humiliating me, I'm going to sit on the path. Not that he's on the side of it, not that he's on, no, he's going to sit on the path. He's going to make sure that you don't tread this path. ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ In another verse, I'm going to come to them from the front, from the back, from the left, from the right. ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ I'm going to come to them from the front. So in the path that you're going, he's going to come to you. Wow, subhanAllah. And you're on the path of good. You are on the path of good. So the shaitan might even come to you in the manner of good.
Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says, وَإِذْ زَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ وَقَالَ لَا غَالِبَ لَكُمُ الْيَوْمَ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَإِنِّي جَارٌ لَكُمْ. The shaitan said to the people, and this is very interesting. He said to the people in the battle of Badr, he beautified their actions. وَإِذْ زَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. The shaitan beautified their actions. وَقَالَ لَا غَالِبَ لَكُمُ الْيَوْمِ. He said, no one will conquer you today. وَإِنِّي جَارٌ لَكُمْ. And I am your supporter. Type. So he came to these people, and he came to them in the form of good actions. And he said, no one's going to conquer you today. I'm going to support you today. So that's what he does that. He tells you, you're going to be all right. Everything going to be good. No one going to conquer you. No one going to trick you. So he even comes to you in a form of good. But in those verses, it shows you that he is so deceptive. He doesn't only strike against the believers, because he wasn't talking to the believers at that time. He was talking to the disbelievers at that time. The shaitan, he not only wants to lead us astray, but he wants to lead them astray as well. Because in those verses, he was not talking to the believers. He was talking to the disbelievers. He was talking to the disbelievers. So, and the shaitan, is it that he's the type of individual that he has waged a war only upon the believers? No. He's even waged a war against the disbelievers, because he doesn't want them to. And they're on the wrong path. We know the disbelievers are on the wrong path. But there is a path that they can possibly find. There is a path that they can possibly find. So he wants to lead them far away from that path. So those who are on the path, let me get them off the path. And those who can find the path, let me make sure they don't find the path. Look at the extent of his deception. Look at this extent of his deception. طيب. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says, وَقَالَ لَكُمَا إِنِّي لَكُمَا مِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala mentioned about the shaitan coming to Adam and his wife, Hawa. وَقَالَ لَكُمَا إِنِّي لَكُمَا مِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ فَدَلَّهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ. And he actually, from the beginning, مَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. He came to Adam, our father and our mother. Came to them. And he came to them in the form of an advisor. SubhanAllah, there wasn't all these cars and all of these buildings and all of this wealth. It was a garden. And the shaitan is trying to lead them astray in preparation for their offspring. Yani, not only is he a deceiver that we can't see, that comes to us in the form of good, but he comes to you in a manner to lead you astray, so that whatever comes from you would also be led astray. So that whatever comes from you would also be led astray. Let me guide him astray. And this shirk and this kufr and this bid'ah and this sin would remain in him for 30 years. He can get married after this. He can have kids after this. I've led him so far astray that I've also led his wife and his children astray, even though they haven't entered his life yet. Even though they haven't entered his life yet. مَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. Your Lord has not forbid you from this tree, except he wants you not to be angels. Your Lord has, it's only Adam and Eve. There was no children yet. There was no offspring yet. Why is he focusing on them? We are why he's focusing on them, because where are we now? So has his influence, did it remain in Adam and Eve? Did it remain in the grandchildren of Adam and Eve? Here we are thousands of years after Adam and Eve, and we're still affected by what first took place. Your Lord has not forbidden you from this tree, except that your Lord did not want you to become angels, and your Lord did not want you to remain in this garden. وَقَالَ لَهُمَا. And then he said to them, إِنِّي لَكُمَا مَنَ النَّاسِحِينَ. I am sincere to you. This is what he said to our father and our mother. So فَدَلَّهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ. So he deceived them. And we're still feeling it today. So the shaitan, not only is he a deceiver, not only does he trick, not only does he plot, but he intends to get so deep inside of you, 10, 15, 20 years later, you still can't get him off your back. And that which is in you of his deception, it's going to go to your children. And it might even go to your grandchildren. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like we said in the beginning, he said, no, don't destroy those people. Maybe their offspring would worship Allah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wama arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alamin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have only sent you as a mercy. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would intend for the individual and the lineage of the individual to be upright. To be upright. But the shaitan intends for the individual and the lineage of the individual to be corrupt. So he plants his seeds. The reality is, ya ikhwan, this is something extremely important for us to realize what we're up against. And when an individual is able to put the shaitan and his plots and his plans in the right perspective, then that individual can equip himself or herself better. So my advice to my brothers and sisters, my sincere advice to my brothers and sisters, is that you take some time to learn the plots of the shaitan. He beautifies your actions. He beautifies your statements. He makes you think that you're upon good. But indeed, وَمَا يَعِدِهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. He only promises you with deviation. So the reality is we have to take some time to learn this. We have to take some time to realize where we're going astray. We have to take some time to realize that we're up against an individual who's very patient. La ilaha illallah. Very patient. He might plot, he might put you in a situation that chisels at your iman, literally chisels at your iman, to break you after 10 years. It's okay. He'll say, I got all the time in the world. My destination is where? My destination is the hellfire. I have no hope. I have no hope. There's no chance for me. So I got all the time in the world. And that's what he says, and we know it, and I've said it in many lectures before. Allah promised you, and I promised you. I only called you, فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي, and you answered me. Don't blame me, blame yourselves. That's his reality. Got all the time in the world. He'll be patient with you. You protect yourself from one direction. I'm al-khannas. He retracts. He'll come at you from a different direction. You think you're upon good? I'll get you with that way as well. You think you're upon something of good? You think you're upon some istiqamah? I'll come to you in another way. I'll write it down. I'll plan. It's khutwat. It is a plan. It is steps. So this is my advice, and we can continue, and inshallah, the next, tomorrow we would also continue. But the reality is, he doesn't like these kind of talks. He doesn't like that we sit down and we discuss him. We discuss his affair. We discuss his traps. We discuss his means of entering upon the individual. He doesn't like that. So expect that he's going to come even stronger.
وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. نعم.
I didn't put, forgive me, at times I forget, you know, some of the verses I mentioned, Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Fatir, but the other ones, I can't recall right now, but I'll give them to you later, inshallah. I'll definitely give them to you later. No.
No.
But when she sits down or doing something, it doesn't bother her. So me, I said, is it just the day, Deeds? And she said, no, it's been like this for 3 days.
No.
So I told her, all right, let me find out before you continue to fast. This is something that, you know, because of the headaches. I mean, she said it's real bad.
No. Before we answer this question, or we mention a question and then we answer, we remind the sisters that we're entertaining some questions now. So if they have questions, they can write them down and send them down, inshallah. The brother's asking about his daughter, 9 years old. She's fasting, and in the daytime, she finds that when she stands up, she becomes dizzy. And the brother would like to know, as it relates to this dizziness, for one, if she's has reached the age of puberty, then it's obligatory for her to fast. If she hasn't reached the age of puberty, then it's not obligatory for her to fast. Although the companions, the Sahaba, they used to encourage their young to fast. But so if she has reached the age of puberty, then what I would advise is that she takes suhoor, you know, and that she takes suhoor late, right before Fajr. Because if she's not taking what she should take for suhoor, such as water and nutrients and the likes of that, then she will feel that dizziness. So what's important is that she takes suhoor. Some of us as parents, we want our children to fast and we encourage them to fast, but we don't provide the suhoor. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned akalatu suhoor baraka. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned eating suhoor, which is the breakfast before Fajr. He said it's blessed, you know. So, and the reason why it's blessed, for one, it's implementing the sunnah. For two, it was the way of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And for three, it nourishes your body so that you can complete the day. So this is something important that she takes suhoor. Another thing that if she has, and you might know from the doctors, if she has a deficiency in the form of vitamins, then maybe you want to give her some vitamins along with her suhoor. She also takes vitamins. Maybe she takes honey. Maybe she takes black seed. These are things that would strengthen her body so she doesn't have difficulty throughout the day. Also, what's important is throughout the day, she doesn't do a lot of the activities like young. The young, they like to run and they like to play. And we find that some of our children, they play in the sun. They play in the sun in Ramadan. This is going to affect them. Sleeping late at night. That's not necessarily a problem. That won't affect the fasting. You know, that's allowed and it won't affect the fasting. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to encourage the daytime nap. He used to encourage that we take a nap in the daytime. So this would strengthen our body as well. But those are the things that I can advise. The suhoor, she should take the suhoor. And it shouldn't be just a bowl of cereal, because this won't, I mean, we're fasting in America, we're fasting about 18 hours, you know, about 16 and a half hours. In Canada, we were fasting about 17 hours, you know, so a bowl of cereal won't be enough. You know, she should take a good meal, you know, and that meal should be filled with nutrients and the likes of that, maybe put some vitamins. Anything that would strengthen her body, you know, she gets the calories that she needs during the day. She shouldn't play in the sun. She shouldn't run around and do anything which takes her energy. But if she is not of the age of puberty, she doesn't have to fast, you know. So maybe she fasts a portion of the day, and a portion of the day she breaks her fast if she's not of the age of puberty. This is that which I can advise. No.
Thank you.
the one that sits. Now, you have those individuals. The reality is, you have the brothers asking about the individual in the parable that I mentioned, the individual who sits on the path. Is this the individual who doesn't intend to do? Naam. Definitely. The person who's content. And what I mean by that, let's talk about individuals who are content. If an individual says, right now in my Islam, I'm good. And there's some people, and I have personally met people like this, says, I'm good in my Islam. You know, I've even met some people that said, I know for a fact the shaitan doesn't encourage me or whisper to me. That type of person is definitely, he's been conquered by the shaitan. He or she has been conquered by the shaitan. When you feel that the shaitan doesn't approach you, la ilaha illallah, Allah tells you in the Quran he approaches you. Allah tells you that he's going to come from different directions. Allah tells you he's the major deceiver. فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغُرُورِ. Do not allow the life to deceive you, and do not allow the major deceiver to deceive you. Allah tells you all of that. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told his companions about it. And now you have, in this day and age, a Muslim to say, I know the shaitan doesn't affect me or bother me or hinder me or deceive me. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ. Does not the one who created you know more than you? قُلْ أَتُعَلِّمُونَ اللَّهَ دِينَكُمْ. Allah says in the Quran, are you going to teach Allah your religion? So Allah knows. Allah taught you. Allah told you about him. Page after page, verse after verse, Allah told you about him. So for an individual to sit and say, I'm good in my Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never felt that he was good in his Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to his companions, No one's actions will enter them into Jannah. The companions said, Ya Rasulullah, even you? He said, even me, except that my Lord shows me mercy. Except that my Lord shows me mercy. The Prophet ﷺ stood at night until his feet bled. Aisha said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah has forgiven you. He said, Should I not be grateful? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood in Mecca, and he called out to the leaders of his tribe, and he called out to Fatima, and he called out to his aunt, and he said, worship Allah, for verily I cannot save you from the punishment of Allah. Verily I cannot save you from the punishment of Allah. So the reality is, even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even the Prophet himself sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was not the one. Would never said to it, I'm good right here. Because it would never be like that. لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَتَقَدَّمَ أَوْ يَتَأَخَّرَ. Allah says, for those from amongst you who want to go forward or go backward. Allah himself, and I mentioned, وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْنَا مُسْتَقْدِمِينَ مِنْكُمْ. We know those who are going forward and those who are going backward. So Allah himself, in two different verses of the Quran, said, so those who want to go forward and those who want to go backward. So Ibn Qayyim said, there's no sitting. There's no, I'm good in my Islam. None of the people of the past have mentioned this. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala at his deathbed saying, La. And his son said to him, his son Abdullah bin Ahmad said to him, my father, and they felt that he was going to die. So my father, why are you saying La? Because the shaitan is at the foot of my bed right now saying, you won. The shaitan, Imam Ahmad said, he saw the shaitan saying to him, and in any form, Allahu Alam, he didn't say the form. The shaitan was saying to him, you made it. Abu Abdullah, you made it. Yani you're basically on your deathbed. You beat me. And Imam Ahmad saying, La, I haven't yet. Until Allah takes my soul from my body, it is a battle. Until Allah takes my soul from my body, it is a battle. And that's why Allah Ta'ala says, وَعْبُدُ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Allah said to his prophet, worship your Lord until certainty comes to you. Meaning, death. Allah says to his prophet, worship your Lord until death comes to you. Because the shaitan, he is going to stay on that path until the path is no longer in front of you. Once the angels of death come to you, there's no path in front of you. Now it's the goal. Did you reach it or did you fall short? So the reality is, the shaitan, he's going to remain. He's not, and subhanAllah, and we don't know him. We don't know. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, wastafziz man istata'at bi khaylika wa rajlika wa sharikhum fil amwali wal awladi wa idhum. Allah Ta'ala says, wastafziz bi sawtika. Allah Ta'ala said, and lead them astray with your voice. Allah Ta'ala says, and lead them astray with your voice. وَجْلِبْ عَلَيْهِمْ بِخَيْلِكَ وَرَجْلِكَ, and come after them with your troops who are on horseback and your troops who are walking, and join them in children and join them in wealth and promise them. Allah says that. So when Allah, and that's in Surah Isra. In Surah Isra. So lead them astray with your voice. Lead them astray with your voice. So he's going to come to you by whispering. He's going to come to you, and some of the scholars said, music. Ibn Abbas said, everything that calls you to evil, this is how he's going to come. He's not going to leave any path. He's not going to leave any path. So he says, guide them astray with your voice. Attack them with your army who is on horseback. Attack them with your army who is walking. Yani, don't leave any of your troops behind. Attack them with every... interesting that Allah Ta'ala says, and attack them with your army who's on horseback. Because there are those from amongst us that are doing what? Racing. Like we said, the parable of racing. So Allah says, attack them with your army who is on horseback, so that they can catch up with the ones who are racing. And attack them with your army who's on foot, because some are walking. So Allah Ta'ala tells you there's no direction except he's going to come. It's an army. Hizb. It's an army. And some of his army is walking. Some of his army is on horseback. So if you're racing, if you're excelling, they're going to come at you as well. They're going to race with you. They're going to get ahead of you so they can plant the traps and they can put the sticks and they can dig the holes. They can build the tours. That's how the detour. That's how they're going to come at you. So the reality is, going back to the brother's question, there's no such thing as a person sitting and saying, I'm good where I am right now. The reality is, no, you're not. You need to protect yourself. You need to guard yourself. Why did the Prophet used to remember Allah 100 times a day? Why did the Prophet ﷺ used to pray at night? Why did the Prophet ﷺ, methadone, the Prophet ﷺ was sitting with his companions. The Prophet ﷺ was sitting with his companions. He got up and he entered into his home and he came back, and the companion saw that his hair and his beard were dripping from water. His hair and his beard were dripping from water, as if he had took a wudu or a ghusl. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, you were sitting with us, and then we noticed that you got up. Abruptly you got up, and you went into your house, and you came back out, and now it looks like you took a ghusl or something. The Prophet ﷺ said, yes, a woman just passed. He said, yes, a woman just passed. So I went inside, and I did what I was supposed to do with his family. So the Prophet ﷺ is cutting off the path of the shaitan. See how the Prophet used to cut off the path of the shaitan? A woman passed? Desires. Let me go fulfill my desires. So now the shaitan can't make me start thinking about her. Where is she going? Who is she? How does she look? No. The Prophet ﷺ cut off his path. Cut off the path of the shaitan. One day the Prophet ﷺ was in the masjid on i'tikaf with Safiya, his wife. He was walking her out, because the wife can visit you, but you shouldn't have relations, obviously. He was walking her out of the masjid. Two companions started walking quickly. The Prophet ﷺ went to them and said, take it easy, that's my wife. They said, Ya Rasulallah, we would never think bad about you. He said, yeah, but the shaitan runs in the veins of the human. I'm cutting the shaitan from you right now, from thinking that Muhammad is walking with a woman he shouldn't be walking with. The Prophet cut the path of the shaitan. So not only, the reality is, and it's good you asked that question, not only do we have to do what we need to do to excel, but part of our excelling is that we cut off his path. Is that we cut off his path. And we see it done by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now. Yes. No. Now, as the brother is mentioning about the affair of Taqwa and the fact that the people of Taqwa on Yawm al-Qiyamah would have a higher status than the rest of creation, indeed. And there's a hadith in that regard. There's a hadith in that regard. Many ahadith and many statements of Allah Azza wa Jal. Before the ahadith, the statements of Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran about Taqwa. And we mentioned, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the final affair would be for those who have taqwa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُونِ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, and fear me, O you who have intellect and understanding. So the reality is, if we read in the Quran, you find many, many verses about the affair of taqwa, and you find many statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sunnah about the affair of taqwa. And from those, the one that comes to me off the top of my head, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned about سَبْعَةٌ يُذِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ذِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ذِلَّ إِلَّا ذِلُّ, the seven people who will be protected in a shade that Allah Azza wa Jal would provide on a day that there's no shade. And one of those individuals is a person who is called by a woman who has beauty and wealth. A woman calls a man who has beauty and wealth. She calls him to do evil deed. فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ, and that man said, I fear my Lord. Allah would shade him on a day that there's no shade except the shade that Allah provides. And likewise, an individual's ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَاهُ, a person who remembered Allah while he was alone. He was alone. It's easy to remember Allah in front of the people. It's easy to have taqwa in front of the people, because you don't want the people to feel that you're upon sin. So we find those from amongst us, when the people are around, we lower our gaze. The people are around, we are extra righteous. But when we are in the confines of our own home and the doors are closed, we find that we do that which is displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, an individual who remembered Allah when he was alone, no one around, no one to look at your tears, fafadat ayna, and his eyes became filled with tears. So this also would be an individual who would be shaded on a day that there's no shade except the shade that Allah provides. And there are many other benefits of taqwa, extreme benefits of taqwa. And this is indeed something for us to acquire. But that which I would advise you to do is a book translated, The Benefits of Taqwa, by Sheikh Uthaymeen. By Sheikh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, The Benefits of Taqwa. And he mentions it all from the Quran. He mentions it all from the Quran, The Benefits of Taqwa. And it's all from the Quran. It would be a very beneficial book for. And it's nothing of the speech of Sheikh Uthaymeen. He just says, taqwa brings about this, this is the proof. Taqwa brings about this, this is the proof. Taqwa brings about this, this is the proof. This is something that would be very beneficial for the brothers to read and the sisters to read. And maybe we can encourage, you know, if a brother or a sister wants to bring it to the masjid, you know, and read it to the brothers, you know, between the adhan and the iqamah. Just bring the book to the masjid and read it to the brothers. And this is one of the ways you cut off the path of the shaitan. And this is one of the ways that you excel. It's thin. It's thin. About 25 to 30 pages. 25 to 30 pages. Now. No.
easy to fall into sin.
No.
Now, some individuals, I'm talking to you, I got nobody's here with me. For me, like everybody's life is different.
No. No.
My life was one way. So sometimes I think back to things that I did, you know what I mean? And if I have to say that, how does an individual remove that affliction that you've been affected so many years? You done did so much dirt.
No.
You see what I'm saying?
No. No. Taib, what I'm going to request for, because it's a good question. It's a good question, and it's going to take time for me to answer it. So what I'm going to request is that you allow me to answer that after iftar. So that I can answer it, I can take my time, and more people can hear how. Inshallah. So I'm going to answer that question after iftar, so more people can benefit from it, inshallah ta'ala. The brothers, so that the sister, the brothers asking about, in summary, if an individual in their life has committed so much, which is displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jal, how do they remove the effects of that on them so that they won't have the difficulty in performing good deeds and they won't find it easy to fall into sin and the likes of that? And there's no doubt that because of the sin, it has its effect. It has its effect on us. So I responded to the brother that I want others to benefit from that response. And I would like time to reflect over it as well so that I can give a thorough answer as well. So inshallah, I will answer that question after the iftar, after Salatul Maghrib. I'll take some time to answer that question inshallah ta'ala. Barakallahu feek. We're fasting and I'm fasting, so I would like some time to relax in preparation for the breaking of the fast. Allah knows best. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa sahbihi wa sallam taslima kathira.